Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Well, I'm going to have to kick you know what today.
We're heading inside the tent with an injury update from the Las Vegas Raiders.
What time it is when we hear that introduction? That's when we welcome in our good friends over at the Neuropathy and Pain Center of Las Vegas, Dr. Robert Odell and Dr. Stephen Shaw. How are you guys doing? Welcome to the show on this great Friday here in Las Vegas.
Doing great, Vin.
Happy Friday.
Yep. Happy Friday. Doing great.
Absolutely. Okay, before we get to everything that we wanted to talk to you about today, I got to ask, because I'm not sure we're going to be able to talk to you next week. It's Thanksgiving, and you know how the schedule gets turned around on Thanksgiving. But what are the big plans for Dr. Shaw and Dr. Odell on Thanksgiving? And Dr. Odell, if you tell me that you're working, I might crawl between whatever wires there are to go get you and make sure that you're staying home or doing something fun on Thanksgiving.
Well, actually, I was going to fly to a Friday flight in Milwaukee to deliver one of my Sonexus devices to a dear friend in Kenosha. But I canceled that so I can work on my trains for 2 days.
Okay. Dr. Shaw?
I'm going to be comatose from all the pumpkin pie.
There you go.
And I'm going to be eating.
All right. Awesome. And by the way, Dr. Odell, my wife is from Kenosha, Wisconsin, a lovely part of the country. I never thought much about Wisconsin prior to getting married, but now that I've been out there in the summers, on the lakes, it really is a beautiful part of the country most of the time. There's also a winter that we're not going to talk about. But you guys, I'm glad that we're talking today. And one of the reasons why is the Golden Knights here in Las Vegas made a huge trade recently. And me covering the Raiders and kind of being laser-focused on that, I was like, okay, great. When's he going to get on the ice? When's he going to play? I was talking to our hockey writer who covers the Golden Knights, and he's not going to be out there for a while. I'm like, okay, why? And by the way, the player is Jack Eichel for the Buffalo Sabres, who is one of the best hockey players on the planet. And it turns out that one of the reasons that the Buffalo Sabres even traded him to Las Vegas is there was a dispute going on between himself and the team on the best way to approach a neck injury that he had been dealing with. What course of action he wanted to take compared to the course of action that they wanted him to take. And ultimately, it led to an impasse, and the Buffalo Sabres moved on for him, traded him to the Golden Knights for a lot. The Golden Knights gave up a lot. But there's some risk involved because there was a surgery involved. He's had it. It's been deemed successful. But I wanted to talk to you guys because I know it's a very interesting topic here in Las Vegas and to hockey fans. First of all, are you familiar with the surgery that Jack Eichel underwent?
Do you know what it was?
Yeah, it was just in layman's terms, an artificial disc replacement surgery. So he went an artificial disc replacement. The team wanted him to do something completely different, but he opted for this surgery, which has never been done on a hockey player.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about artificial disc replacements in the neck. Usually what they do is ACDFs, which is an anterior cervical discectomy fusion. And in the neck, people do much better with fusions than the low back because, first of all, you don't walk around in your neck. Second of all, the anatomy is a little bit less complicated. There's no sacroiliac joint. And so the forces I have done anesthesia for tons of these cases, and you're in tiger country. That's what the neck is. But having said that, these ACDFs seem to do pretty well. If I see people with neck pain and low back pain who've had fusions, Steve would probably agree with me. I think 9 out of 10 are in the low back. Most of the neck people do very well.
Yeah, I agree.
And I do not, honestly, do not know much about the disc replacements, and I can understand why there was a controversy. But let me also say this: if this doesn't work out, he could still have the ACDF, the anterior cervical discectomy, take out the hardware fusion, and it you know, he could do very well from that.
Yeah, and real quick, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Dr. Shaw. It's the Sabres did want him to do exactly what Dr. Odell referenced, which was the proven disc fusion surgery. But instead,
ACDF, yeah.
Yeah, instead, you know, he wanted to do what's, I guess, the newer technique actual replacement. Are you aware? I mean, are you familiar with that? Have you seen anyone, maybe treated anyone that's had that procedure?
See, I've not seen a patient with a disc replacement in the cervical area.
Dr. Shaw?
No, personally, I have not. But, you know, at the end of the day, I guess that's a choice that he has to make with his doctor. And also, the other important factors would be what led to the injury in the first place. What was the result? Was there spinal cord compression? Was there exiting nerve or foraminal compression? So I guess those are factors that play in to help make the decision. From a rehab standpoint, I would have to think that he would probably recuperate a lot faster versus if it was in the lower back, for the reasons that Dr. Odell has already mentioned. But no, I have not seen an artificial disc or cadaver disc or any of that for the neck. And it's normally they just go in and clean it up with a discectomy.
Yeah, and as I'm doing some research on it, it was a herniated disc. That's what the injury was. I don't know, you know, to what extent. Obviously, it was really serious. It knocked him out for the rest of the 2021 season, knocked him out of last season after herniating the disc. And I guess the original or the more common is cutting open the front of the patient's neck and removing the damaged disc.
That's the ACDF, anterior cervical discectomy, ACD or fusion. Anterior in the front, cervical, neck, discectomy. They take the disc out and then fusion. They put little bone grafts in there. I've seen it zillions of times from the top of the table, you know, doing the anesthesia.
Right. And that's the surgery that Peyton Manning had, now that I think about it.
You know how the surgeons do this case? Do this?
No. I would love to hear it.
Very carefully.
That's
a joke, Vinny.
Yeah, well, it was a pretty good one, because I was hanging on every word. Like, I want to know. I want to hear that. But this one involves putting an artificial disc into the part of the neck where the damaged disc was. That way the pressure is still taking off the nerve.
Vinny, I'll look it up. I mean, you motivated me. I'll look it up and we can talk off the air and see if there's anything we can do. I'm not sure that patients, listeners, should make decisions for an ACDF versus a artificial disc of the neck based on our show.
No, definitely not.
That would not be a good thing. and I don't know how many spine surgeons, ortho spine or neurosurgeons, do the disc replacement. But I will certainly promise you I'll look it up and can talk in just some broad terms next time, because this is a cutting edge. I mean, there's so many things that are changing in medicine. It's going to, you know, guys your age are going to be being helped down the line compared to old, you know, what's like me. So it's the future is very bright for healing. Unfortunately, putting in hardware is not one of them, but there's other things, you know, regenerative medicine that we can eventually talk about.
Yeah, well, I would like to talk about that, because I just the original, my whole point was, it just seems like a risk for the Golden Knights to have given up so much, even for that original surgery that you've described. You know, he's a hockey player, and it's there. When you guys are dealing with that, you know, herniated discs and the original procedure or the more common procedure, is it a good likelihood that, you know, you get back all your mobility, all your flexibility, or is, even at that level, is there some concern?
Almost all of it, right, Steve?
Yeah, I would agree. You know, if done correctly, like everything in life, with the proper rehab. And even now, surgeons are asking these athletes, who by the way, recover a lot faster because they already have, well-established muscle tone, kinesiology, flexibility in all of their joints. So they're healing a lot faster in general. The outcome normally is good.
Well, that's good news because they gave up a lot for him, and they understand that he's not going to play for a little bit, a little while. But it's an investment into the future. Dr. O'Dell, you just mentioned the term and what some of the things that you do at the Neuropathy and Pain Center. What were you referring to right there?
Well, actually, I found a lot of people who are scheduled for surgery. I'll do the nerve test on that we do, and they don't need disc surgery. It's really not coming from the disc. Most of the time, it's coming from the facets. And I shudder to think that he didn't have the proper workup to see if it was actually from the facets, which are the structures in the back. Most people with neck pain, I have found it's facetogenic. The facets, when you age, they get arthritis. You have pain and extension and rotation. And I'm telling you, the procedure we do, which is takes 15 minutes, it's totally extra spinal, outside the spine. It's very safe in trained hands. And patients love us because this thing works better than anything. And I hope to heck that somebody did a diagnostic medial branch block on him to rule out the facets. Because when these guys are moving their necks back and forth, they could tear those little capsules. Again, for the listeners, I do this stuff all the time, so I take it for granted. But if you have a problem with your spine, it can be from outside the spine. The facets are the little joints in the back that prevent you from turning your spine all the way around, like the Roadrunner. In other words, in the low back, those joints you can only turn about 40 degrees. In the neck, you can turn to look at traffic, 85 degrees or 70 degrees. Because those plates are flat, you just have to look at a skeleton to see that, and that is far and away in my experience, despite what the literature says, the main source of neck pain, especially in older people. And I hope to heck that was ruled out in this gentleman, because it would be a travesty. The neck discs, and correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, but the neck discs are a little different than the lumbar discs. They're a lot thinner. They're not as robust. They're not as important, in a sense.
I don't know. I guess we could argue the definition of important. But, yes, the morphology is different of the discs in the neck, just like the shape or morphology in the middle of your back or in your lower back.
They're a lot thinner.
They're much more robust.
Right? They're a lot.
Say again?
They're a lot thinner.
Oh. Yeah, a lot thinner. The unfortunate part about discs, whether they're in the neck, mid, or lower back, is that they're really only innervated by a very a blood vessel the size of a human hair. It's very thin.
Wow.
So it's not receiving nutrients. It's not receiving oxygen. Things that, if you cut your arm has millions of microvessels that bring nutrients and oxygen to help with the healing process. But the discs just unfortunately don't have that advantage. So they're essentially shock absorbers that once they become ruptured or torn, then they are susceptible to re-injury, and sometimes to the point where they're just not repairable and they need to be replaced.
Also, Dr. Shaw, he could have had decompression. It's something we're starting to do now where you do mechanical means, traction. Maybe he tried it, that can rehydrate the disc and can heal it.
Well, certainly that would be a modality you'd like to try before the point of no return. Hopefully they didn't come up with that idea at the time that he needed surgery. But, that is definitely something that we do at our office, is decompressive therapy of the neck and lower back to take pressure off of the disc. Because you have to remember that most spinal injuries, whether it's the neck, mid, or the lower back, it's all the result of compressive forces. If you can imagine like an accordion being compressed together, that's what essentially happens to your spine. And that causes those fibers, the annular fibers of the disc, to tear. And once that happens, they start to bulge, and things could spiral if not taken care of before they get worse.
And we're talking to Dr. Odell and Dr. Shaw from the Neuropathy and Pain Center here in Las Vegas. I say this all the time, pain is a reality of life, but it doesn't have to dictate your life. And it's something that can be managed and mitigated and sometimes just completely eliminated. And I urge you guys to call Dr. Odell and Dr. Shaw over at the Neuropathy and Pain Center at 702-257-7246. Don't feel like you got to be the tough guy. Don't feel like you got to be John Wayne and grit your teeth and bear with it just because that's what you told, that's what you were told to do. Go get help because there's help.
Vinny, I just want to make something really clear. You know, we talk in this jargon because we're used to it. That's what I do all day. I mean, you know, I know the terms and everything. But when we see a patient, we have animations that can show the disc versus the facet. I have a magnificent animation by 3D Practice, a company out of Atlanta, where you can actually show them the what this looks like. Because in medicine, I know a little bit about a lot. If somebody has Hodgkin's disease, a patient, they'll probably know more about Hodgkin's than me. So in a sense, all we got to do is tell a patient a little bit about what they got, and we can go in as much depth as they want to. But those who are interested can really understand what's going on and can make data-driven decisions based on the anatomy, the pathophysiology. And now that I'm lucky enough to have Dr. Shaw with me, he comes from a physical medicine standpoint. I come from the anesthesia, you know, needle jockey area point of view. We can really give these patients a real choice, as it were.
No question about it.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
Yes, that's right. And that's why you need to call these guys and their office, 702-257-7246. You know, guys, we're talking about neck injuries, back pain, things like that. From your perspective, is it more prevalent now than before? And if so, and I know the back has always been vulnerable and, you know, throughout the course of time, painful as we get older. But for young people, is it becoming more prevalent? And is there a reason that it might be becoming a little bit more so?
I'll take it. I don't know the exact numbers in terms of prevalence or how frequent it occurs, but I just think, you know, I was an athlete many years ago, 3 decades ago, and you know, linemen at that time in high school were about 190 pounds. Now we've got high school kids, 17-year-old kids that are 300 pounds, 6'7", and they're running, you know, 4.7 40s. I mean, that's a lot of velocity with a lot of mass crashing into other human bodies. So as these athletes are getting bigger, stronger, faster, I would have to imagine that the forces applied onto their bodies and musculoskeletal joints are becoming that much more substantial. And so injury would probably be more prevalent.
And in the real, you know, we're a sports show and we talk about a football team and other sports, but we have a bunch of, you know, maybe non-athletes or beyond their prime athletes that are dealing with it as well. And it doesn't necessarily have to just be, you know, athletic feats or driven by, you know, athletic injuries. It just seems like even our lifestyles, sometimes the sitting that we do in front of computers and our posture, I would imagine that all adds up as well. That leads
it to, all adds up.
Yeah. And that's, you know,
the weekend warriors, the desk jockeys. Yeah, I mean, all of us cannot fight gravitational force. We're all victims of it. And, you know, as we're all weekend warriors and we do crazy things. And unfortunately, you know, unless things are done properly, unless you work out properly, unless you train properly, then you're always subject to injury or even re-injury.
And Vinny, I just want to add one thing. Dr. Shaw talked about 3 decades. For me, it was more like 5 decades. That's another issue.
Well, you're still going strong, Dr. Odell. There's no question about that.
Well, and parts of me are.
Yeah, there you go. And it drives home the point that I try to keep making to make the phone call to 702-257-7246. Because whether you're the weekend warrior, whether you're the desk jockey, whatever the case might be, there's pain involved, and it gets worse. And but the good thing is, and the good news is, however prevalent it is, whatever the numbers might be right now, there's a course of action to alleviate that, and that's why you know, Dr. Odell and Dr. Shaw are so interesting to me to talk to, because they're in a position to give you help. So give them a call, 702. Dr. Odell.
I'm actually a needle jockey.
There you go. We're all jockeys to some extent. It's just the activity that we put in front of that needle. But give them a call, 702-257-7246. Pain is a part of life, but it can be mitigated and managed, and they do that at the Neuropathy and Pain Center in all kinds of different ways that, you know, give you relief, and that's, you deserve that. So Dr. Odell, Dr. Shaw, thank you so much for spending some time with us in the huddle today. Enjoy your Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Vinny.
Talk to you next week, and we will catch up very, very soon.
Fine.
Have a good one, guys.
All right.
That was Dr. Odell and Dr. Shaw from the Neuropathy and Pain Center here in Las Vegas. 702-257-7246. Please make the call and help yourself, because they're there to help you. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM on a Friday.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignor. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignor on Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM.
All right, I got to share this. Just had a visit from a Raider fan. Believe it or not, his name is Alex Rodriguez. He's from New York, now living in Cincinnati. Huge Raider fan, thanks to his father, who passed on the Raider fandom to him. But Alex is such a fan that he's here this weekend, obviously, to go watch the Raiders play the Cincinnati Bengals. That's where he lives right now. He is a Raider fan, though. But to top it all off, not only is he in town to watch the Raiders at Allegiant Stadium on Sunday, he's getting married this weekend. So he planned his wedding, and apparently his bride was very obliging in this, as was the family. He planned his wedding in Las Vegas specifically so that they would be in Las Vegas to also watch the Bengals against the Raiders. Now, he has a bunch of family members here with him in Las Vegas from Cincinnati. They're going to be at the game as well. But obviously, they're going to watch him get married on Saturday. So our thoughts and good luck and good fortune to Alex Rodriguez. I'm not kidding around. That is his name, A-Rod, from New York. Now living in Cincinnati, is in town in Las Vegas to go see the Raiders play the Bengals on Sunday. But before that, a little bit of a bigger event, he's getting married. So good luck to Alex Rodriguez. That is cool. And that's why we love being out and about. You know, people see the banner that we have, and, you know, our Raider Nation radio gear that we have. We do have giveaways. So if you're nearby, come on by, and we'll hook you up. But Alex saw the setup and was like, hold on a second, what? You know, and we told him what we did, and now we've got sounds like he's going to be a loyal listener in Cincinnati, listening on lvsportsnetwork.com. Also, you can stream it live on raiders.com over at their site. So, we come at you from all over the place. Obviously, if you're here locally, you just have to tune in to 920 a.m. On the radio, but really cool to see Alex Rodriguez here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook, getting ready for the big day tomorrow, and then the big game as well on Sunday. So our thoughts and are with him for sure. So that was pretty darn cool, right? That was cool. But we're talking about the Raiders. We're talking about trying to get back on track, and I think that's the theme of this week. Certain weeks take on themes. Last week, obviously, was the Kansas City Chiefs are coming to town. That didn't work out so well. The week before that, coming out of the bye, all that had happened prior to that game, the Raiders just did not come out and play well against the New York Giants. They lost that game. Two-game losing streak, 5-4 after 9 games. There's 8 games left to play, beginning on Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals, and a quick turnaround to the Dallas Cowboys. On, by the way, when Alex was here, He told us a story of how his dad became a Raider fan. And I love this because everybody has a story on why they became a fan of whatever team they're a fan of. A lot of times, probably the majority of the time, you grow up in a city where there's an NFL team or an NBA team or a Major League Baseball team, and proximity, and that's where you live, that becomes your team. But not everybody, you know, that's not the story for everybody. And Alex's father was in the Army. He was in the service, and he got stationed in Germany and back in the day. And, you know, as still is the case, on the base in Germany, they showed NFL football, and it was a Monday night football game. Alex's father knew nothing about football. Zero, squat. But all of his, you know, buddies in the service said, hey, we're going to go watch the football game. They're showing it. Like, all right, great. Who's playing? The Dallas Cowboys against the Oakland Raiders. Okay, you know, I'll check it out. And as the story goes, Alex's father said, I don't know anything about football, but if I'm going to start getting into football, I'm rooting for that team. And he pointed to the Raiders because they are pretty badass and wild and crazy. So from that point on, he became a Raider fan and obviously passed that on to his son, Alex. And he's a true blue Raider fan that is, again, on the same weekend he's getting married, he's also going to Allegiant Stadium to watch the Raiders for the first time. I told him he's going to enjoy it. Great stadium, great atmosphere. So good luck to him. But as far as the Raiders go, you know, getting back on track, and there's plenty of time left. I know that we've been talking about it, and talking to the players about it, talking to the coaches about it, and I'm getting asked about it. You know, what's the demeanor like? What's the mood like? And I got to say, it's been okay. And today in particular, you know, it's a Friday practice. It's usually a nice light practice. Teams typically work on some red zone offense and defense, but it's a very condensed practice as you're, you know, you're kind of weaning it down in preparation for a big game on Sunday. So you'll practice a little bit lighter on Friday after heavy days on Wednesday and Thursday. There'll be a walkthrough tomorrow. But anyway, Friday, today, out at practice, it felt like there was a good mood, you know. And has that always been the case these last couple of weeks? I mean, guys have tried their best to put aside things that have happened, but I can't say that it was all jovial. You know, there was a lot that they were dealing with. And so I think they felt that a little bit, and the aura around it reflected that. Today, it was they were having a lot of fun. And during the period that we were in at practice in Henderson, a lot of laughing, a lot of high-fiving, a lot of good vibes, a lot of positivity, a lot of energy, and I'm kind of big on that. I look at that. It doesn't mean that that it guarantees a loss, a win, whatever the case might be. You still have to go out there and execute and win the game. And that's what it ultimately comes down to. But I am a big believer too in what's the demeanor like. What does it look like? How does the team feel? You know, are they walking around, you know, with their tails between their legs? Is there doubt? You know, but today, for the first time in a little while, I really sensed just sort of a relaxed atmosphere, a relaxed team that was having a lot of fun and looking forward to a game. I don't know what that means for the score. I don't know what that means for the outcome. I don't know what that means in terms of what the Raiders will look like and play like, but I think it's a good sign. And I think it's a really even better sign that talking to Rich Bisaccia today and asking him, as I did, about where DeSean Jackson was in the whole scheme of his acclimation to the Raiders, and the story that Coach Bisaccia relayed to us was that, hey, just before I, you know, came into the media room, I'm walking down the hall, and who's there talking to me? But it's DeSean Jackson. What was DeSean Jackson saying to him? Hey, Coach, I feel comfortable now. I'm feeling comfortable. I'm feeling really comfortable. And I don't think that DeSean came out and said it necessarily, but the implication was clear. Please get me out on the field a little bit more this week, you know. I feel comfortable about being able to contribute. And I think it, as Coach Bisaccia has said, it's a good sign because the Raiders need DeSean Jackson. They need what he brings to the table. He played 9 plays last week out of the 54 possible snaps, offensive snaps. I expect that to increase. Good things did happen when he was on the field Sunday night against the Kansas City Chiefs. He made he had a 40-yard catch that put the Raiders at the 13-yard line. Unfortunately, we all focus on the outcome, and rightfully so. He fumbled it. He got the ball punched out, and the Chiefs fell on it. And to me, it changed everything about that game. Not sure where it would have headed had they maintained possession and scored a touchdown to make it a 24-21 game. But, you know, it's a 24-21 game going into the fourth quarter. That's not a bad place to be compared to what ultimately happened on that very next drive that the Chiefs had. I think they go down and kick a field goal. It's 27-14 at that point. And I felt like even right after that fumble by DeSean Jackson, you just felt like there was a little bit of deflation with the Raiders. You know, those are big emotional swings in games like that. And you fight your way back into a position to put yourself in position to maybe make it a 3-point game, and then bang, right after a big play, it was just like one of those, you know, swings of emotions where Chick Hearn, the great NBA basketball play-by-play guy, used to always say this. He would call it a 4-point swing. When you're going up for a layup or an easy basket, it gets blocked away for a fast break the other way. And what looked like was going to be a sure 2 for one team turns out to be 2 for the other team on the breakaway. It's a 4-point swing. You're thinking you're getting the 2 points. You end up giving up 2 points. It's a 4-point swing right there. I felt like that fumble had that kind of a feel to it. It changed the demeanor of the Raiders a little bit, and it was just a little bit too much at that point to overcome. 24-21 looks a lot different, obviously, than 27-14 in the fourth quarter. Be that as it may, the point is what DeSean Jackson did on that play, the connection that he made with Derek Carr on the 40-yard pass, and Rich Bisaccia talked about this a little bit. Like, look, it's not the easiest thing to do to be the guy that gets dropped into things in the middle of the movie and find your way now. You know, like this isn't schoolyard football where hey, Johnny, you come in. I'm going to throw it long to you. You know, there's a lot that goes into even just a play like that when you're talking about this level. You're talking about the coverage read, getting the formation correct, getting the route correct, being on the same page with your quarterback, understanding is this man defense, is it zone defense, is there a safety coming over, and it's, you know, the quarterback has to trust, and you have to be where you're supposed to. There's a whole lot to go into it, and given the fact that he was only here for a couple of days prior to stepping on the field for the first time against the Raiders, it was a good sign that even just that happened. Yeah, he fumbled the ball, but the fact that he was able to come up with a catch that quickly, it's something that Derek Carr remembers and is going to remember. It's something that other defenses are going to remember, and they're going to continue to pay attention to him when he's on the field. And that's the bigger point of all this, and why I think DeSean Jackson needs more snaps, and why it's a good thing he was telling Rich Bisaccia today, man, I'm feeling good, I'm feeling comfortable. Because that should give Rich Bisaccia, as he's putting the final touches with Greg Olsen, the offensive coordinator, on the offensive game plan, hey, you know, the guy said that he's feeling good. Maybe it's time to push the envelope a little bit more this week. I would expect that to happen because even when DeSean Jackson isn't catching the football, and I do think that he's going to get a few more touches in that regard, but even when he isn't, just being on the field helps things, and it makes safeties have to think about playing further back and make sure that they don't, you know, get the top blown off by DeSean Jackson. And that means that there's going to be one less person that the Raiders have to deal with in terms of defending other players in pass patterns, but also defending the run. That's where when you can get guys lined up a little bit further away from the line of scrimmage and be paying attention to that guy over there that can run over there very, very quickly and make you look silly in the process. When they're paying, when the back line is paying attention to that guy, it's bound to, you know, reduce the number of bodies in the box, and then it becomes a math game. You got more blockers to deal with more defensive players that are lined up trying to take away the run. That should theoretically help in the run game. So, and I've been a proponent all week long. Is it about touches for Darren Waller? I think all of that unfolds organically if you're doing other things well. If you have somebody over there to draw attention, away from Darren Waller a little bit, and maybe open things up a little bit more for Darren Waller. Are you running the ball successfully? Are you protecting your quarterback? Is he having time to be able to let things unfold in order to get the ball to Darren Waller more? And not just target him, but complete the pass. And, look, we could talk about the overthrow that Derek Carr had on an open Darren Waller in the end zone. But Darren Waller's also dropped a few passes this year. So it's not just the amount of targets. It's what are you doing with those targets? And I think both between, Derek Carr, cleaning it up a little bit on the accuracy. Not to say that's been a huge issue, but it was an issue against the New York Giants. And Darren being a little bit more careful with the ball on the passes, his drop rate has increased a little bit this year. So that's something to be aware of. But again, organically getting the run game going, cleaning up the miscues so that you're running more plays and having more of an opportunity to go to Darren Waller and everybody else. That helps. And so having DeSean Jackson out there to target and to help, create some space for everybody, all of it plays into it. And so I wouldn't be worried about the numbers necessarily, because I think those will come, and the numbers will come, the production will come, the yards will come, the scores will come. I think the real focus needs to be, can you block better and can you run better? And that's been an issue at times this year for the Raiders. They've still been able to win five games, as Derek Carr pointed out. There is a recipe that they've cooked up to win five of their first nine games. Now they got to figure out a way to win five of their next eight, six of their next eight. Can they do that? Five wins gets them to 10. Does that put them in the playoffs? I think they're going to be in a good position at five at 10 and seven. But 11 and six looks a little bit better, and we'll see. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila and Bajada Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Friday.
Welcome back to In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, live from the Treasure Island Sportsbook.
Yeah, we're just going to let that play a little while. That was my time. Cameo, are you kidding me? The old heads know what I'm talking about. Welcome back to Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Friday. We are live at the Treasure Island Hotel, the Golden Circle Sportsbook. All sorts of games on television. We got some Duke Lafayette. The Lakers against the Celtics. It's a little bit too far for me to see what the score is, but I'm going to assume or hope that the Lakers are winning. We've got some college football on. Lakers are up by one. All right. They're down by one. The NBA. You know how that goes. But nice to see the Lakers are being competitive right now. LeBron James back on the court. That's obviously a good sign. But, yeah, Cameo in the 80s. I could go on and on with a lot of the music that I was listening to. But I'm not one of those dudes that disrespects what's going on now. There's so much creativity. you know, with words and lyrics and technology and all that. So I'm not a hater whatsoever. And there's definitely times, you know, where my kids will have something and I'm like, I like that. Okay, who's that? You know, they probably get sick of me asking who's that, just like my dad would. Who's that? Who are you listening to? So it's just the way it goes, man. It's the circle of life. As I'm sitting here watching a 49er fan, big old 49er fan, walking down the casino with his George Kittle jersey. Man, did the 49ers put one on the Rams or what? And it just shows you how it's hard to explain this NFL season right now. Yeah, it's 9 games in, right? Some teams have played 10 games. But it's very unpredictable thus far. But as our good friend Jason McCormick from Station Casino said yesterday, look, if you want to know where it usually turns one way or another when teams start making their move or not, you know, you've got a situation now where it's coming. What, no water? Oh my gosh, we're gonna have to talk to that guy over there. I'm just saying. All right, but so this is the time of year typically where teams make their moves one way or another, and unfortunately for the Raiders, these last couple of years they've made the move in the wrong direction. Usually, right about now, but have they gotten that part out of their system a little bit this last? A couple of weeks, this two-game losing streak that gets them to 5-4. They were sitting pretty at 5-3, but 5-2. But that's not where they are right now. They're 5-4, and they got to crawl back out from under the little hole that they've dug for themselves a little bit. But when you look at the standings, and this is what I try to point out, somebody on you know the Raiders mailbag that I do each week for the Las Vegas Review Journal, by the way, you can read all my stuff over at Vegas Nation, the app, or go to VegasNation.com. We got you covered in all ways about the Raiders. But somebody literally asked me, and I put it as part of the mailbag this week for the Review Journal, you know, is it time for the Raiders to tank this year and next year and start all over with a new quarterback and a new coach? And I had to say, absolutely not. The Raiders are 5-4. They're a half a game out of first place in their division. They are tied for the last spot in the AFC playoffs, for that last wild card spot. There's 8 games left to play, and they're that close to their goals. To sit here and presume that they're not going to be able to finish it out in a way that gets them into the playoffs is premature. You can't presume or assume that it's just going to go sideways from here. I'm not Nostradamus. I don't know what's going to happen. If I did, I probably would be living on some island right now because I would have bet my way to the top in terms of the bankroll, and I wouldn't be worried about it. So I don't know what's going to happen. However, I'm not going to sit here and predict that they're not going to be able to get this thing done. And I'm not going to sit here and say, okay, yeah, it's time for the Raiders to start tanking. You can't start tanking with 8 games left to play and you're a half a game out of first place. Now, I also added in the answer, this season, wherever it ends up, by the time we get to that point of the season at the end of the year, wherever it might end up, Mark Davis and his team will take a look at it, as they always do, and assess. And so at that point, and not a minute before then, is when all of the decisions on, you know, what direction do the Raiders go in, what's the plan for the offseason, that's when that will be determined. But right now, the focus is on winning enough games to get to the playoffs. And there's plenty of opportunities to do that with 8 games left, A, and B, there's enough talent in that room. There's enough good coaching in that facility for that to happen. It's not a talent issue right now for the Raiders. I'm not saying they're the best team in the NFL. I'm not saying that. I don't even know who the best team in the NFL is right now. I don't even know if you can define who the best team in the NFL is. A couple of weeks ago, it looked like the Rams. They've lost 2 straight games. Go explain the Tampa Bay Buccaneers losing to the Washington football team. The Dallas Cowboys got their hats handed to them by the Denver Broncos. Then they go around, turn around and beat the Atlanta Falcons. The New England Patriots all of a sudden are on a little roll. It's just, you don't know right now. And here's the other thing. Should we even know by now? That's why they have to play the games. That's why they play a 17-game schedule. Let's wait until then. But you don't throw the towel in after 9 games. You don't say, let's blow this thing up after 9 games when you're a half a game out of first place in your division. When you're tied for the last wild card spot. Let's see what happens over the next 5 games. Let's see where the Raiders are at that point. It's an interesting, I think that everything is available for the Raiders this year in terms of getting to the playoffs. And I think you play every decision that you make, every game plan that you put together, everything that you do, every ounce of focus that you have, every second of focus that you have right now needs to be on figuring out a way to win enough games to get to the playoffs. Once that's no longer possible, if that's the case, then you move on to, you know, the next phase of things. But for right now, the plan is, the goal is, the objective is, the focus is on getting to the playoffs. And guess what? It's within reach. But it all has to start this week, Sunday, in 2 days, at 1:05 p.m. at Allegiant Stadium, when the Raiders host the Cincinnati Bengals. And it's a win. It's a game I know the Raiders are capable of winning. We shall see. I do expect some bigger plays by DeSean Jackson, some more playing time for him. Maybe Darren Waller has something up his sleeve this week. Maybe that run game can get in order. But, boy, it sure would help if the Raiders could play clean, efficient football. No turnovers. Stop with the turnovers. Stop with the silly penalties. I want to say thank you to everybody that joined us this week. I want to say thank you to the Treasure Island Hotel and the Golden Circle Sportsbook. Thanks for all your hospitality. Devon Cotton, thanks for everything that you've done this week. We will talk to you again Monday, 4 to 6 p.m. in the huddle, and talk everything about what happened on Sunday at Allegiant Stadium. Have a great and safe weekend, and we'll see you tomorrow at the Rockstar Bar and Grill starting at 5 o'clock. See you then. Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.